born and prayed. The place where he was born and prayed.
Welcome back. Are we back, Conrad?
We are back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, if you are in the Madison area, I implore you, get in your car right now if you want to brave the elements and come on down to the Minocqua Brewing Company. We're having a great time here tonight doing Nightlight live from Minocqua here on East Wash. It's at 2927 East Washington, the Minocqua Brewing Company. Broadcasting statewide. Conrad is holding down the fort. You are holding down the fort, right, Conrad?
Yes, I'm holding it down.
Has anything happened?
No.
What do I need to know?
Nothing. It's just raining.
I see people shushing each other. Are you having a party?
Yeah. There's a kegger in the studio.
Are you having another one of your Tupperware parties that you do every time I leave town? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, you definitely... You guessed it.
All right. We are barreling through this show tonight. Our broadcast, our remote broadcast here from Madison. Great to have you with me on Nightlight on a Tuesday edition. And coming up shortly, Kirk Bangstad and Susan Gettert will perform for us here at the Minocqua Brewing Company. And Tommy Benz will join us in a little while, too. Right now, I'm very thrilled to welcome my next guest. He is a poet. And his name is Richard Vargas. He lives here in Madison, and he's had an incredible life that I want to ask him about. But first, let's say hello to Richard. Richard, how are you?
Hey, hello. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Yes. Yeah, a big hand.
I love this.
A big Minocqua Brewing Company hand.
Minocqua beer. Best beer in Madison.
Have you seen some of our swag we have
for
sale here?
Oh, yes.
Do I get commission, Kirk, if I move product for you?
Thank you.
He looks so bummed out. I shouldn't have said that. All right. So I got to tell you, I don't meet many poets every day. And I don't think most people do. I was an English major, okay? I love poetry and all kinds of prose, but I never had the guts to actually pursue poetry. You have my utmost respect. How did you find this line of work?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that in my personal experience, the schools ruin poetry for their kids when they're just starting out. Trying to teach you iambic pentameter when you're in the fifth grade just doesn't work. I started writing as a kid. I read Ray Bradbury in the third grade, and it did something to me. And from that moment on, I knew I wanted to write. As I got older, I found myself reading poetry on my own. So I was becoming familiar with what was currently out there. My teachers had no clue. So it was kind of just me fumbling around until I actually got to college. And then, you know, I was surrounded by people who were knowledgeable and who were doing it. And so that was my introduction to the real world.
So where do you find your inspiration? You got books of stuff you've written here. You're very prolific. Where do you find the inspiration? Where does it come from?
It comes from life. I'm not one of those disciplined writers that wakes up every morning at 5 o'clock and sits down for 4 hours.
That was actually my next question for you.
I am not that guy. It comes to me, it'll ferment in my head for, you know, a day or a week, and then I'll start working it out. And if I don't write anything for a couple of months, I'm okay. Okay with it. It doesn't bother me.
So it's whenever the spirit kind of takes you, if you see something, that's so cool.
Right.
You have your own show here at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Tell us about that. It's on Wednesdays, is it?
Well, right now it's the fourth Wednesday of the month, but in July we're going to switch it up to Tuesday, the fourth Tuesday of every month. It's called Poetry on Tap. It's an open mic. We have community poets come in and read some of their work. We give them a little, there's a drawing for a little prize at the end.
Oh, nice.
We also bring in a featured reader for every event. And on May 22nd, our featured reader is Dale M. Kushner, a local poet who last year wrote a very great collection that's getting a lot of good word called M. Briefly, it takes us on a journey through realms of soul on the paths of desire, sorrow, and transformation.
Wow.
Some of these poems have been adapted to the theater, and they will be on stage at the Overture in June. So tickets
nice.
Are on sale
Very
right
nice.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic. So you've had this, you know what, we should probably, can we hear something first before
before
I pepper you with questions? And I'd love to hear what you have prepared. This is Richard Vargas reading one of his own original works.
And you guys were talking about movies before I came on, so that prompted me to read what I'm going to.
Sweet.
I hope I don't say one of the seven words I'm not allowed to say on the radio. So forgive me.
If you're in doubt, I mean.
This poem is called Married Couple at the Movies, 1987. Sitting in the dark, munching on oil-slicked fake buttered popcorn and sipping on iced carbonated liquid sugar, the ex and me are rubbing elbows as the movie lights up the screen. Michael Douglas is the guy who has it all, an attractive, devoted wife with a cute kid thrown in for good measure. But one night he lets the little brain zippered up in his pants take over. And next thing you know, he's doing the slam bam, thank you, ma'am, with a sultry but slightly wild-eyed Glenn Close. And this is when it starts. The rest of the movie, she's poking me in the ribs, whispering in my ear, see, that's what he gets, that no good cheating peckerhead. I got the message loud and clear as I stuffed my mouth with my bucket of artery-clogging popcorn, accepting the fact there would be no nookie tonight. Thanks, Mike.
That's great.
Was that safe?
I think it's safe, right?
Close.
Well, we're on the cusp.
All right.
Conrad, be alert. So you're going to have your poetry night will be here. Does beer and poetry, that seems like a great combination.
Poetry.
Right?
Poetry, beer. What could possibly go wrong?
You've had a lot of, I was reading your bio, and it seems like a lot of these poets have these crazy roads in life that lead them to this profession or to this art form. You sound like you fit right in there. You've had a really interesting life. You were born in Compton. You went to Cal State Long Beach, somehow ended up here in Wisconsin. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Oh, it's been a lot of stops and starts. Born in Southern California. Right out of college, I joined the Army, and I was then in Colorado Springs, where I met my ex. And then we went back to California. Then we came to Rockford, Illinois. That was my introduction to the Midwest. After that, we divorced, and then I went to Albuquerque for 13 years, where I got my MFA, my Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing, and three of my books were published while I was there. And then I came back to Rockford and started working my way up to this area, and now here I am. I've been here since February 2020.
Yeah, so you could have done a lot worse. Madison's a pretty cool place, for a poet, I would imagine. These are just some of your jobs you've had. I love this. Gas station attendant, women's shoe salesman, fry cook, bank employee, retail sales clerk, paint, men's clothes store, auto repair, infantry lieutenant, warehouse supervisor. Have you drawn from, do you have to have a life like that in order to write poetry? I imagine you can't have a dull life and put it to paper.
Not really. You don't have to have that life because poets come from all walks of life.
Yeah.
But because of that, a lot of my poetry centers around working class issues, you know, the struggle between being somebody trying to make it in a capitalist society and economy. Those things are really important to me, and they come up a lot.
Yeah. My guest is Richard Vargas. He's a poet. He hosts a poetry night here at the Minocqua Brewing Company on the last Wednesday of every month. Come out here. It's beer and poetry. Check that out. He's going to read something again for us next. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, Kirk Bangstad, and Susan Gettert coming up. Tommy Bentz, we got more music coming up and a little more poetry next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Conrad, are you there?
I am here.
How's your Tupperware party going? What, oh, we got, I think we have a...
It's going great. It's going great.
The difference between lovers and fakes, oh baby, I talk to you in the night, in your dream.
Bridget, 818 is checking in regarding our question of the night. What is an irresistible quality you find in other people? Someone who makes you feel like you're the only one in the room, like my husband does. Oh, that's very nice, Bridget from the 818. Thank you very much for that. Sherry checking in again from the 920. Oh, of course, and a smiley emoji. Sherry's the emoji queen. Thank you, Sherry. Glad you guys are listening tonight. We're having a lot of fun here at the Minocqua Brewing Company at 2927 East Washington in Madison. If you are in the area, you can come by and check out the rest of the show. Richard Vargas is here right now. He is a poet. And he is telling us, or he was telling us before the break, kind of how you found your voice as a poet. And are you gonna, can you read something else for us?
Sure,
or something else. It doesn't have to be movie related either. Whatever you, want to do.
It won't be. And I actually wrote this poem back when the Occupy movement was going on. But it's pretty relevant to what's happening across the country right now. So I'd like to dedicate the reading of this to the students who are out there trying to make a difference and a change.
Excellent. All right. Richard Vargas, ladies and gentlemen.
The title is When You Beat Me. Does your arm tire as you swing your baton into the thud of my flesh and bone? And you hear me moan in pain when you crack my ribs and jab my soft belly? Do you feel like a job well done when you pin me on the ground and harness my wrists like a rodeo cowboy hogties cattle? No matter what, we are both looked down upon by those on their balconies of glass and steel who laugh and joke as they spread caviar on fancy crackers that will never pass our lips. While you choke me, knock me down, look at how they raise their flutes of exquisite champagne sparkling in the sun, blinding you with cold brilliance and empty nods of approval.
Very nice. Richard Vargas, ladies and gentlemen, that was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you have a passage on your website I read. I really like it. It says, to deny the role of art in our lives or diminish it leads to dysfunctions we see every day, and I believe will ultimately be our downfall as a species. Can you elaborate on that? That's a really
As I got older, I began to just kind of formulate my own take on art and the creative process. I think art itself is its own life force, and it was here before we were. We're all born wanting to draw, to sing, to dance, to make things with clay. We all have that tendency to want to create art. At some point in our lives, we're told we have to get serious, drop it, and do something that's going to make money. So, you know, that's going to be important, unless we can sell our art.
Right.
Those of us who resist, we keep doing it, and we go on, and we never stop. But I think a lot of people are in denial of that part of themselves. And I think if we were all still connected with that, it would, this world would be a different place.
That's very well said. And I, you know, I, we have this great community theater where I live. And I used to think, like, I've been in the entertainment business my whole adult life. And I always wondered if I would do the things I do if I didn't make money at it. But what I love, and now I know I would, because I meet people like you who pour their heart into this stuff. And I see people that do community theater, people that play a gig at a bar. And it's just that willingness and that it's just in your spirit. It's so important. And that's why I love that passage from your website.
Yeah,
so I really
you.
Appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm glad you picked up on that.
Yeah. Okay. So when you put your pen down at the end of the day, or do you use a typewriter, Morse code, what do you do?
It used to be typewriter in the early days. Now it's all on my keyboard.
Nice. Okay.
Know? Yeah.
So what do you watch on TV when you're done and you just want to, you just want to veg out? And don't tell me you don't watch TV. I know you.
I do.
We know you're this intellectual and you're a very
much.
Smart guy.
I watch too much
Oh, do
TV.
You? Okay, yeah. Lay it on us.
Well, right now, and only because of the acting of, is it John Giamatti?
Paul Giamatti. Yeah.
I'm watching Billions. And again, because, you know, it's about all these privileged, money-making, greedy people, and it's kind of like gives me a gut reaction. But his acting keeps me hooked, and I keep going back just to watch him. And I just started watching Veep.
Oh, yeah, that's a great show, yeah.
So that's good.
I've only seen three episodes of that, but that's one. I do that sometimes. I'll watch like a couple episodes, and then I know I'm going to go back to it. And now my list of stuff I have to go back to is like crazy. But yeah, that's one on my list too.
Yeah, I've only watched two episodes. I just got into it. But my taste is everywhere. I love sci-fi. I love drama, fantasy. I like historical pieces, you know, that take me to a specific time, Vikings or... Or, you know, a Marco Polo.
Did you watch Manhunt on Apple?
Oh, I love that show.
It's a good show. I have the last episode where they actually caught John Wilkes Booth. I haven't watched the final episode yet, but yeah, I've been digging that too.
Okay.
Hey, what's the poetry scene like in Madison? You seem like you landed in a really good city for this. Am I wrong about that? It seems like the arts are popping here.
Okay. It's because I consider myself an outsider. Because I've only been here since 2020. I've started to network and meet people and get a feel for the types of writers that are in town. I wish they were more socially active. When I was in New Mexico, we were holding readings for this issue or that issue.
Oh,
or
really?
Whatever, you know, raising funds for whatever. And there seems to be a lack of that. And I know I'm stepping on some toes here, and I'm sorry. I wish it was more active. I wish there was more of a presence of the neighborhood poets. You know, right now it seems like, you know, you've got your established writers, the academics, and I would really like to see more of what's going on in the streets and in the neighborhoods.
Okay. I almost called you a carpetbagger, but I didn't. So it's good. We're
okay.
Glad you're part of our community here. We love having you in Wisconsin. So thank you very much thanks for being here. This is great, and good luck with your poetry tonight. Here. That's
you,
Richard Vargas,
thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
So we are just barreling through a Tuesday night edition of Nightlight here at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Coming up next, owner Kirk Bankstad is going to tell us about his rockin' new club, and he's even going to sing for us, and he's going to be accompanied by Susan Gettert. You won't want to miss that. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pichwaba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pichwaba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwaba.
Folks, that was the voice of Kurt Bangstad and the accompaniment of Susan Gettert. Outstanding stuff. We're having a blast here tonight at the Monaco Brewing Company on East Washington in Madison. Come on out and join us for the last little bit of the show if you want. We've still got more live entertainment coming. Kirk is going to sing. You're going to actually get to hear him sing a whole song. And then we have musician Tommy Vence coming up too. Kirk, how's it going?
Hey, man. Thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you for inviting us. This is so much fun. And it's just this is everything that brewing companies and radio shows should be. It's a perfect marriage. So thank you for having us.
No, I mean, you have a show all about culture and the arts. And what weirdly, I mean, I'm not the only brewing company that's trying to make this place, make their place, a community place where beauty and art and culture is made. It's you know, it's been done everywhere. I think I'm a little different because I care about classical music. I think a little bit more than other breweries do, but this is what you're doing every night from 7 to 9 is what I try to do every night in a certain way at my place here.
We just are, yeah, exactly. It's so important too. And that's, you know, that's the stuff that, that sustains us, right? Is the singing and the laughing and all that kind of stuff. So tell us about, how long have you been here?
We've only been in the Madison Tap Room now since the middle of March. So,
wow.
And you know, a lot of people in your listening audience kind of know the story. I came here because the town of Minocqua I'm very liberal. I'm a very liberal brewer, and the town of Minocqua did their best to kind of shut me down. So I made the decision last July that I needed a separate place, just in case they actually succeeded in doing so. I needed a separate place to exist, so that I could maintain my business and not have to fold. So it's been about 7 months now since I made that decision, and we opened. About a month
ago inside, and we're still building a beer garden, which hopefully will be done in a couple weeks.
Can we do a show from the beer garden sometime?
Absolutely. Did you see it?
I have not seen it.
Okay, it's beautiful. It's yet to be done, but it's beautiful out there.
Well, I'm just assuming, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the mosquitoes are not as bad here as where I live on the edge of the universe in northern Wisconsin, so I'm excited to see the beer garden.
How do you get from Green Bay to Marinette every day? You actually drive?
I drive, yeah. Oh. I'm trying to save up for a hovercraft, but...
it's going to be a deer one of those nights.
No, don't say... Come on, I'm here on a... I'm trying to help you out here, buddy. All right. So what else do you have coming up here? You got a poetry night. That's really cool. We'll be here one night a month. Busted Pencils is here. That's a great show if you guys haven't checked that out. What else is coming up here at your place?
Even tomorrow... So we have every because Tony, my bartender over here, is going to be the moderator for all our on taps. Since he plays baseball on Wednesdays, we're moving to all our on taps on Tuesdays. So we have politics on tap tomorrow with Professor Joel Rogers, who's really, I mean, he is like one of the rock stars at UW-Madison. He's going to talk about why he came here, which is basically because he wanted to be part of a land-grant college. He didn't want to just be in the Princetons and the Harvards of the world. He's going to talk about politics. We have architecture on tap. We have science on tap. We have poetry on tap with Richard, who's hosting. And then those are going to be an entire sequence. And then we got you coming. We got Busted Pencils coming, which is talking about public education, which I've really been an advocate for. And I tried to bring a lawsuit to try to get rid of voucher schools in Wisconsin. And that's going to be on Wednesdays. And then we have great artists who you're going to hear from next is coming, you know, singer-songwriters who've been through COVID. All of them have a story of how they survived, and they're coming back now. And I've got guys on my stage on Fridays and Saturdays who are also carrying my beer back to wherever they live
because that's the only way I can survive is to have musicians come play my place and then schlep beer back because I
we're doing this show on the reason I'm singing the Apollon songs for you right now is that we're doing a Mother's Day show on Sunday.
Okay. And so nice.
Mothers are invited to come. We're singing Neapolitan art songs. Like I'm singing, I just kind of got done singing for the audience here, and I'm going to be giving Love Wins Champagne to all the mothers. That
oh, you know. Nice.
I may or might not give a rose to all of them. So it's going to be a special day for mothers, and that's why we were. That's why I was singing these songs to kind of, you know, let the mothers know around the state that they can come here and hear Neapolitan songs and get free champagne.
Well, let's hear one of those songs. I think that's great. And this is such a fun night. We are at the Monaco Brewing Company. Kirk Bangstad is the owner. He's going to sing something for us, accompanied by Susan Gettert. And this is for the moms?
This is for the moms.
All right.
It's called O Sole Mio. It is the most popular song in the history of the universe. It's even more popular than Thriller or the Eagles if you go back 300 years.
All right, Kirk Bangstad. Wow. That is how I think I sound when I sing in the shower. And it's pretty damn good. Welcome to the club. You got a good voice, too. How does a guy go from becoming a classically trained singer to the booze business?
My wife got cancer in New York City where I was singing classical music, and I needed to go back to Wisconsin to be closer to my family. And we chose, my family was in Stevens Point, and that was not so fun of a place to live after growing up. And the closest place that was fun was Monaco, Wisconsin. When we moved there, the guy who owned the Monaco Brewing Company wanted to sell it. And there was a stage there. And so I bought the entire brewing company because of a stage.
Wow.
Because I like to sing. And then I learned the rest of the business of owning a brew pub and running a brewery.
You sang your way into the successful beer business. That's great.
That's basically the answer, yeah.
Susan, how long have you been playing the piano? Let's get
I am not nearly as interesting as Kirk. I started when I was like 5 or 6, I think.
Okay. And do you regret sticking with the piano?
Sometimes.
That's the big joke, right? If you take the piano, no one regrets sticking with the piano. So.
A lot of people regret quitting piano.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you sound great. Thank you for being here tonight. Yeah, big hand for Susan, like, showing up in the...
People don't understand how
important it is to have a great collaborative pianist. I mean, these people can't do what Susan does just off the, you know, off the wagon, you know. So
no.
It is really wonderful how good she is.
That sounded great. You guys are great. What are you guys watching on TV? Kirk, what do you watch?
Oh, my God. I,
what are you binging?
I don't watch. I don't.
I don't believe you.
Star Wars.
Oh, big Star Wars. Okay.
I am. I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Did you celebrate the 4th?
Yeah, may the 4th be with you.
Yeah,
brother. Yeah.
They re-released The Phantom Menace, which a lot of people think was one of the worst Star Wars movies, but they put that back in theaters this past weekend. So I'm curious. I haven't talked to anybody who has gone to see it, but I wonder if it holds up or if people have gotten more forgiving.
Did you hear that Ron, the bald guy, he was Happy Days guy, that guy.
Ron Howard.
Ron Howard wrote a letter. they came out and said that the guy who played Anakin, the young kid,
yeah,
some like U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Weekly, just railed how bad of an actor it was. And I read this recently. He wrote a letter to that publisher and said, "Do you realize how lame you guys are for railing on a 9-year-old kid?"
That's terrible.
You know. So that reminded me of that, because maybe that's what the reason that article came out, because now you know.
Yeah.
That was re-released.
Well, this is great. Thank you guys so much for singing and playing us in and out of the break. And you sound great. And I hope you have a big any specials on Mother's Day we can look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I may or may not give a rose to every mother, you know, that comes.
Wow.
That's part of the. It's not going to come from my teeth, however. I think maybe Susan. No.
Yeah, not in a weird way. You're just gonna,
yeah. No. We're going to make it special. I mean, if my mother, you know, who's a voice teacher, and you know, she'd love, you know, to drink a little champagne and listen to beautiful music on Mother's Day, and so people do that after they go have brunch. They come here on 2 o'clock on Sunday.
That's a great Mother's Day. Thank you so much, guys, for being here tonight and performing. That was outstanding.
Thanks, brother.
You got it. And we are not done with the performances. We have another musician coming up next who will sing for – well, we're going to play some of his music and talk to him about it. It's a great song. I heard it today. You're not going to want to miss this. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're live from the Minocqua Brewing Company in East Wash in Madison. Great to have you with me. We're coming right back.
Take me to another place in my life. Everything is beautiful, and no wants and needs, no sign of greed could rule our souls. I wish every day is sunshine. How I wish every day is sunshine. If we could fly away on wings to a place where all could be true.
So we've had some great responses tonight to our question. Jim from the 920 from in Appleton checks in saying, "Just checking in. Sounds like you are having a blast at the Tap House." We are, aren't we? We're having a great time here at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Jim, I got two words for you. Road trip. Or is that one word? I don't know. You probably miss us anyway, but thanks for checking in. It's always great to hear from you. We just have a few more minutes left, but I'm excited to welcome this next guest. I heard his song earlier. It's so great. His name is Tommy Bentz. He's a musician who lives here in Wisconsin, and his style has been compared to the it's been said that he sounds like the Allman Brothers meets Van Morrison. Pretty good company, and he joins us now on Nightlight. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Where are you right now?
I'm in my sun porch in my home in River Falls, Wisconsin.
Sun porch and your home in River Falls, Wisconsin. That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you for your time. Thanks for being here. We're going to hear
Thanks
a song. Oh, our pleasure. We're going to hear a song from you, Night Today. Is that? Did I get that right?
Yep.
That's a great song. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I started writing it, and I thought to myself, I think I wrote a Van Morrison song, but then I thought I wrote a Lyle Lovett song, so I somehow wrote a Lyle Morrison or a Van Lovett song. So, and
a Tommy Bent song.
Yeah. And it was kind of one of those things where I had wanted to work in a certain kind of chord and a progression, and it just kind of came out that way, and luckily it became what you hear.
Well, I love it. Why don't we play that now, and then we can talk about it a little more after. This is my guest, Tommy Bentz, and this is his song, Night Today, on Nightlight.
When the night turns to day, I will turn and run away. It's what I want, it's what I need. With blinding love, baby, I believe. When the night turns to day, and if the weight becomes too great, I won't even hesitate. Our lives go, and if the day turns to night, in my arms I'll hold you tight. We live in a world of pleasure and pain, warmth of the sun and the cold and the rain. When the night turns to day,
that was Tommy Bentz. How about a hand for Tommy Bentz, folks? That was great stuff.
Thank you.
Very Thank nice. You. So, Tommy, I was reading your bio before. You are a small town Wisconsin kid. Half of my childhood was spent in a small town in Wisconsin, and I feel like it affected how I look at things. Does where you come from affect your songwriting or give you a certain disposition that lends itself to your artistry?
I think so. I grew up like in a town that's called Alma, Wisconsin, and it's less than 800 people. And so you kind of go inside yourself a little bit and figure out what you want to be, you know? And so I think that I listened to, you know, all kinds of music and, you know, and got engulfed in it. And, you know, I had probably less things to sort of take my attention away. So
yeah, oh, that's a great answer. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. There's less distractions. Yeah. We have about 30 seconds left. Where can people hear more of your music?
You can go to TommyBentz.com. There's videos and whatnot on YouTube. Our Facebook page is Tommy Bentz Band, as well as Instagram.
Great stuff. Love the song, and thank you so much for your time tonight. I wish we had more, but we'll do it again soon, I hope.
Thank you. Come to our show Saturday.
Yeah, that's Tommy Bentz. Thanks so much, Tommy. Hey, I got a great show tomorrow night, too. Rocky Laporte will be with me. He's a great comedian from Chicago who's doing a big show in Wisconsin soon. And Civic Media's own Jimmy Cuska will be with me to talk sports. I would like to thank the Minocqua Brewery, Minocqua Brewing Company. How about a big hand for Kirk and the Minocqua Brewing Company for having us here at Nightlight? So much fun. And all my guests tonight, John Peterson and Gordy Young. Check out John and Gordy mornings on WMDX here at Civic Media. Pardon me. And then Richard Vargas, great poetry. Kirk and Susan singing. It was beautiful. And Tommy Bentz, this has been so much fun. We'll have to do it again. Thank you for your texts as well, folks. Always great to hear from you throughout the show. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.